You're listening to Reflections, the wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today, we'll be going to the archives to hear a presentation by Esther Wynn. Esther Wynn was a Norfolk school teacher when she met Edgar Cayce. Following that meeting, she went on to become one of the founders of ARE Study Group Activities as a member of Study Group Number 1, the first Cayce study group, which began meeting in 1931. The group worked towards spiritual awakening through meditation and prayer, dream interpretation, Bible study, and changes to diet and thoughts, as directed by Edgar Cayce's readings. The lessons given to the study group, a collective work by the members of Study Group Number 1, were compiled by Esther, the person most responsible for getting the Search for God books published. She was a great inspiration to the international study group directors at that time, the Secrists.
The recording which you're about to hear, the session of a conference held in Toledo, Ohio, in October 1953. The speaker for the morning is Esther Wynn on the destiny of the body, mind, and soul. The next voice you will hear will be that of Miss Esther Wynn, Director of Study Groups for the Association.
I noticed in the destiny of the mind, in Search for God, Book 2, they speak about signs along the way. I think it'd be very well for us to take that up for a moment. It just as that itch brought to my mind. Astrology, numerology, what some of the others, dreams, and I don't remember, I don't know anything else. Stones. Anything to dreams? Do you consider that's anything to dreams? It depends on how you like to be led. You see, when you are asleep, the conscious mind is of God. And you open then, your soul is open to spiritual forces. The superconscious mind and the subconscious mind are still awake. If you fill your body with food, maybe your physical body is still conscious that you are not altogether resting well. And the dream that you have, that was in a wonderful vision, turns to a nightmare. But that's because you did it yourself. But if you have been dieting correctly, and you, along about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, after the food has it suggested, you'll have a dream. And that dream is a soul being impressed by its universal mind, maybe. Anyway, that which you contact. If you listen very well to it, if you listen carefully and abide by it, it doesn't help you. You'd be the first person that listened to dreams that I know. Can we depend on dreams entirely? I know one man that depends on dreams entirely. He'll have a dream and he'll move in at the beach. He'll stay there a while and he'll have a dream and next morning he packs up planes. He'll have a dream and go to Florida. And then you have another dream to go to, back to Washington. He's a slave to his dream. You think he's happy? Very unhappy. Very unstable. Dreams are only signs along the way. They aren't life. They aren't God. It's a sign that will tell you, go north. Or don't go north. Just as the signs you see along the streets. The same thing that happened with astrology. It's a sign along the way. All the planets were made by God. And God is within you and within me. God is within. You know more than anything. I bring all things to your remembrance, as the scripture from the foundation of the world. And yet, there are some signs along the way. A person that came from Mercury to this planet. I'm very likely to have a very brilliant mind. Mercury didn't do it. So what could Mercury do? Well, he could do this much. Environment in a culture family has its effect upon the children. And when you come into the environment, whatever it is on Mercury, that helps the development of the physical and mental and spiritual self. I don't understand, but it's a sign only. And you determine whether you'll go to college or whether you will go to be a ditcher. That's a bright man that I have ditching for me today. He knows a great deal. The fact of it is, he gave me some points on ditching. Suddenly, the Mercurian had stopped by. But he could have been an Einstein if he had applied it. Stones. The world is going wild over stones. I must have this particular stone around and this particular stone on my finger. What's the value of stones, Jean?
Symbol.
And if you will make up your mind that a lapis will open the glands of your body, I imagine they will all move. And if you make up your mind that the lapis can stay there on the pituitary gland, but I think I'll say my prayers, and the first thing I know, he said, Phyllis said, that, did you feel how high you were? He said, I took the lapis off. And he said, it has a vibratory effect. I'm not speaking that, but it's only a sign to call you a greater than any sign that has ever been called. Are there any value to us? Certainly.
If you have your faith in
them. Well, they're value anyway. Dreams are valuable.
Oh, but those of us that don't ever remember a dream. Dreams couldn't mean much to me because I should never.
You will. Maybe you don't need them. But anyway, you have hunches.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you have, inward and innate knowledge of what to do. Various other things. God's always given an opportunity for every man to develop along his line. What is the destiny of the soul, Bill?
You go back to God.
As a drop of water goes back to the ocean. What do you mean by lost soul, sister?
Hey.
That's a very important thing. Lost soul. If you've been to the Methodist Church all your life, as I have, I was scared to death on that business. I wanted to die before I was 12 years old so the devil wouldn't get me. I'm thinking that he'd just stand there at the gates and told me, just waiting for me to pass along by. I'm learning different since then. What's a lost soul? It speaks about it. Well, we said a moment ago that the destiny of the body is with us. Whether we want to spiritualize it and make it one with God, that's our business. That Jesus showed us the way that it could be done. Then we learn further that the mind of God, God's grace to us, was a means through which we could do these things or not do them. And that we were helped by the superconscious mind plus the subconscious mind plus the conscious mind. God's done everything for us except give us a seat in heaven over our protest. Now, then the theologian and the scripture also said that there's such a thing as a lost soul. Then, what do we mean by lost soul?
When they've been sold, doesn't want to go back to God?
Degenerate?
God can degenerate souls of God. there.
Those touches themselves are God within them.
Yes. That's it. A lost soul is one that we live. We have lost our identity. Jesus was Adam, went on through. Jesus. And he said, before Abraham I was. He said, the first Adam all fell, the last Adam all made life. I know my incarnation. I'm one with God in the beginning. I'm one with God in the end. I will take my soul. My soul will go back to him. I'll take my body and my mind. He said, and what I do, you can do also. In fact, today, you must do it. The soul will go back to God. But if we do not make ourselves one with him.
We'll be right back with more with Esther Wynn on Reflections. You're listening to Reflections, the wisdom of Edgar Casey. We're back with Esther Wynn.
But if we do not make ourselves one with him, body, soul, and mind, if we do not spiritualize the physical body, we will lose our identity. And so far as we are concerned, this soul is lost to Mary Smith. That's a lost soul. Not that God himself would be lost any more than you can destroy a drop of water. You put it out in the sun, destroy it. It goes off into vapor and it's blown up. Then it condenses. Back to the ocean it goes. Nothing is lost. A lost soul is a condition in which an individual would lose its identity. I told you that from the Bible and from the reading, from the revelation, I understand it, that all souls will have an opportunity to have that destiny in God. Now suppose we say we'll not do it in this dispensation. We won't do it until after the kingdom of Israel has been established and has finished. But we will do it when it says, and after then, the devil will be loose for a spell. Evil forces, I mean. Evil thoughts, evil minds. Suppose we start over again in another incarnation, in another series of trials and trials, and incarnations after incarnations, that we might be able to attain, after millions and millions of years, to the oneness with God. I don't like it so long. How about you? I don't want to lose my soul in this incarnation. I want to make it one with the body. What have I got to do then? Spiritualize the physical body. Can we do it of ourselves? Never. But with him, we can do all things. And to, for the proof and for the love of God and for the love of humanity, a kingdom of Israel is to be established, in which he has promised to come again in the same body he walked the Sea of Galilee and be our teacher. You know, to me it'd be a marvelous thing if I'd see the Lord sitting in that chair. He's been to our group meetings a number of times, and members have seen him. He came to the first Congress we ever had, and members of us saw him there. He has blessed and been with us. But wouldn't it be marvelous to have a group? And every time we had the group, to have a meeting, and every time we had a meeting, the Lord would be with us. Well, you say, that can't be, but listen. When we are in that spirit, we operate in the fourth dimension as much so as we do in the third dimension. We can see him as he is. I have sat by Mr. Casey, who operates in those dimensions, and I have heard him say, Master, I found the ocean walking on the water. Well, somebody said that imagination. Well, he slipped out of himself and started singing. I have been in the class, and I said, was the master here?
Yes. Where was I? He walked around and stood before each of you. And I felt the vibration. I knew it was truth. This, wouldn't it be marvelous to have the Master to be one among us? That's what he's promised in this kingdom, when evil forces will be banished. Someone said in the other room, they didn't know whether it would be a life to wish for, in which there'd be nothing but good. Huh. It'd be a long time getting all the bad out of us. It'll take a long time in life to get all the evil thoughts and selfishness out of a human being. But he's a God of patience and love. And there's a reward for having your eyes always on the way. Our reward would be not only materialized, but experience.
Well, by spiritualizing the body, do you mean the same thing that happened to Enoch and Elijah, that it's where...
Well, no, I don't think they were. I think Enoch came back in Jesus, and I think Elijah came back in John the Baptist. But I think what I mean by spiritualized body, I mean, as Jesus said, I have overcome the world, and he meant then those desires that were on the earth, so that I can love my enemy as myself, so that I can be willing to send the rain on the just and unjust as God does, so I could say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Their body has become spirit.
Well, yes, but with Enoch, it said that he was not, because
yes,
God
was not.
And then Elijah, of course, disappeared to the sight of other human beings. And I just wondered, there was never any material body for other people to have to bear.
No. Maybe it disintegrated and it was passion. Okay, both of them came back into a body.
I'd also like to ask one more question. If sin or evil can be absolutely banished from our thinking in our life for 1,000 years, what in the world would ever recreate him? Or that
if he said banished, to be banished, not go into the other room, he might be on another plane. I mean evil. But you see, it doesn't mean everybody will be in the kingdom. Many are called, but few choose to be chosen, you see. There are few, those who are in this kingdom have the mark of the Lamb. Get that?
Yes.
The mark of the Lamb. And that is, they have chosen Christ to be the Master of Masters, Lord of Lords, the one who showed us the way. And even though we are weak in our faith, he is strong in his power.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, let there be light. And a new creation came into existence. That we talk about in our everyday walk of life, the kingdom, the creation in which Adam and Eve came into existence. I can refer constantly to how I learned these statements through the records, through the reading that were given through education. And here is one that I shall repeat from time to time. The kingdom, the creation of man, was for the purpose, I mean the man in the physical life, was for the purpose of finding the way back to God that we had lost in the physical manifestation in spirit. So the second creation you'll find recorded, second chapter of Genesis. And God said, and God took dust of the earth and created man and breathed in him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. A new way was set before man, set before soul, that they might find their way back to the Father. And the first soul was Adam,
having suffered. In the physical, even as we. God, then, that was not enough. So he instituted the plan of reincarnation, that souls and flesh might go out and come back again and again and again and again, that each time they might know the way to fall a little bit better than they did before. He sent the Son, Jesus, that he might show the way so that we could understand. I am the way. Then the kingdom of Israel comes into existence, but not before God had made other plans, many other plans, through which we might be able to understand him. The next plan was a covenant. While sometimes it's called a dispensation, in which a promise was given, even to Abraham. And this promise went something like this: I will make your descendants as the sands of the sea and as the stars of heaven in multitude. Abraham took that on faith, and his descendants later in Egypt brought out before the world another period in which man could learn something about God. This was the dispensation of law that established by Moses. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. And time went on until the people of Israel asked that they might have human government. And that was a lie to them, human government, as other nations had. Although the prophet warned them that they would have trouble and distress and be carried into captivity and learn the hard way rather than from precept, an example that God would set before them. They lived under the law of government.
We'll be right back with more with Esther Wynn on Reflections. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Esther Wynn.
They lived under the law of government, these peculiar people, many here among them, until the Prince of Peace came. Until about 2,000 years ago, there came into the world that one who was out. He had been in the world, out of the world, out in space, everywhere that he could teach mankind, either in spirit or in the physical, the way back to God. I like to give his incarnation as the Bible has given them. Enoch, Melchizedek, he clothed himself in flesh and taught peace to mankind. Joseph, Joshua, Jeshua with Zerubbabel, they went out of Persia into the promised land. And then he established the new, the worship that had a long years ago, from 70 years back, had been neglected. And then, about 400, 600 years after that, he came as a Prince of Peace. He laid down no laws of conduct other than up to other men. On the soul that shall he also reap. He laid down no laws of ethics other than After every good that men do unto you, do you even so to them? He healed the sick, cleansed the leper, cast out the evil spirits, raised the dead, preached the gospel to the poor, and said, I am the way. I have shown you the way through all of these years. I've shown you the way from Adam. I am the Christ. I was to come into the world. If you follow me, I will make you kings and priests unto God. Whatever things that I do shall you do, because I go to the Father. And where I am in consciousness, there you will be. In the end, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And then, as the record says, you will be one with God, as in joint heir with Jesus Christ. Christ to some other planet that is waiting for you and for me. Who will be postgraduates? Who will be Christ? Who will be Christ to some other planet? He went away. But before he went, the disciples came to him and said, Master, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? All through the Old Testament, they looked forward to him. Even the man who betrayed him believed with all his heart in the kingdom of Israel. He did not mean for Christ to be crucified. He meant for Christ to declare his royalty and take over the world and rule. He didn't understand that I can hang him. The disciples said, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? It is not given to me to know the day nor the hour, but to my Father and to him to whom he will reveal it. Did you know that kingdom on earth in which peace and love and soul development and spiritualization of a physical body is with you and with me? You remember the Lord's prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Waiting for your will and my will to be one with God. Where are we at this period as to the establishment of that kingdom? We are on the verge. Let's see. The second, third, are the signs of this kingdom coming? Are the signs that I say to you, if you have not the mark of the Lamb, we better get it. What are the signs? If you read in the Revelation, it reads like this. When the prophecies of Daniel have been fulfilled, then there is the end. Let's repeat the prophecy of Daniel and see if we, who are teachers and students of history, can even believe and look as to the pioneer we are to the realization or the establishment of this kingdom. Daniel was a Hebrew boy at the court of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was somewhat, we call a day of psychic. He had a dream. and you forgot it. So he called together the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, the astrologers, the fortune tellers, and the wise men. I had a dream. That's not what is it? O king, live forever, said the wise men. No man can tell what you dream, but any of us can give you the interpretation thereof. Get right, take them out and kill them. Because if you can tell me the interpretation of the dream, you can tell me the dream. The report got a rancor, and Daniel, the Hebrew boy, heard about it. Why is the king so hasty? He would ask those around the body. Bring me then before the king. I will tell him what he dreamed. And in the course of time, Daniel was taken before the king. The king said to Daniel, "What did I dream?" "O king, live forever. Give me one night. I will tell you what you dreamed." You know how he got it? In prayer, in meditation. The next morning, he went in and he told him the dream. And let us see if we can't see, and we look back over a few pages of history, that he was right. You dreamed, O king, of a figure whose head was of gold. That head is your kingdom. Magnificent king. And then you dreamed that the figure had arms and shoulders of silver. The kingdom of silver and gold of silver will overpower your kingdom and destroy it. The Persian Empire conquered the Babylonians. The Medo-Persian two armies. Then you dreamed that the body of this figure was brass. The kingdom of brass will overcome the kingdom of silver. The Greek kingdom under Alexander the Great overcame the Persian and established a big Greek empire. We call the Macedonian Empire. You dreamed further, O king, that the legs were iron. And the kingdom of iron overcame the kingdom of Babylon. The Roman Empire conquered the world and set up one of the strongest kingdoms that had been established. And then you dream, that the feet and the toes of this figure were of clay and iron. And as clay and iron do not mix, do not stick, neither will those kingdoms hang together, but they overcame the kingdom of iron.
We'll be right back with more. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. We're back with Esther Wynn.
The gods, the Visigoths, the Huns, the Vandals overcame the Roman Empire and established the modern countries of Europe. Will they hold together? Aren't they weak? Aren't they strong? And then you saw a stone cut out of a mountain. And the stone grew until it was a mountain. And on the top of that mountain, there sat one like unto the Son of God. And this mountain that became a kingdom destroyed the kingdom of iron and clothes. throne, established an everlasting kingdom. That's the kingdom I'm introducing to you this evening. This kingdom that is an everlasting kingdom. Jesus, in one of his discourses, made this explanation so that his disciples would understand if they could. There are 10 virgins, and 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. And the bridegroom was being waited for they had been invited to a wedding. And the wise one took oil in their lamps. All signifies the Holy Spirit, the awakening within, the knowledge that we are one with God, that we know we pass from death unto life, because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are one with Him. And there were 5 foolish virgins that had no oil in their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they went to buy oil. And when they returned, the door was shut. Another proof that this kingdom of Israel is here. We were told in the Bible, and it's been repeated again and again by the people who have tried to interpret the Bible in the best way they can, that before that great day, the Armageddon would be fought. The reading said that Armageddon was a battle between the spiritual forces coming in and going out. Day after day, week after week, year after year, especially now, you hear of some outside force trying to undermine the spiritual force that's going to try to keep the world apart. Some I wouldn't like to call anything, but I intimate that some guy or some person will warn him to warn someone else that they are in the wrong path, that Jesus isn't the Christ, that he, if he arrived at Christ, he's already here, and perhaps they can talk to him. That's a boy in the land more than ever before. Those forces fighting against you and against me, lest we hold in these hard times to the way. Another, and thought Christ will come. Many thought Christ. Many people would say, here is Christ, there is Christ, and the scripture said, many will be deceived, even the elect. How can we, if we are elected, be deceived? And walls, enormous walls will come. And these are the beginnings of sorrow. What would be the sorrow? The door shut. You know, we're talking about a kingdom in which the Christ will reign. The Christ will walk. The Christ is the very body that he walked the sea of Galilee. The very person that you and I knew if we were in the earth plane at that time. What are you coming back for, Lucifer? Through all these theories that I just mentioned, we've tried, we've fallen down and gone down. We kept our eyes only on the light of the cross.
Well, it's time for the Thought for the Day, and today's Thought for the Day will be read by Allison Ray, my wife. Well, hello.
Hi, how are you today?
Oh, good. And what's today's thought for the day?
Today's thought for the day is from reading 137-7. Be not faint-hearted nor over-anxious in the development, for the will of him, the giver, must be made the will of man.
Wow. And what does that mean to you?
Well, to me, this talks about that we need to have faith in God as the giver of all good things, and that we need to make our will one with God's. And it's by doing that, then all things are going to work for good.
And we have to remember that God's time scale is different, perhaps, from our time scale.
So true.
Oh, yeah. So it says, you know, be not faint-hearted nor over-anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And people might be tempted to be impatient and, you know, want to be perfect now or something, or fully developed now. And it's a process, and we have to learn to adopt God's will.
Exactly. And it's not always an easy thing, because I'm not always sure that God wants exactly the same things that I want.
Hmm.
But when I remember that it's ultimately for my own very best good, and that God has that in mind, then it helps me to surrender it.
Oh, yes. Well, thanks for doing the thought for the day today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks for listening to the presentation by Esther Wynn. To find out more, go to edgarcasey.org. Thanks also to Allison Ray for the thought for the day, and most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce.